And welcome in to You're the Cure right here with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do for you at VeritasMedical.com. Check it out today. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to see you back in the studio. And
yeah.
Here we are in the fall months and, you know, rolling right along.
Changes in the air.
That's right. That's right. So, got a great show lined up once again. We'll have Morley Robbins on, and he's by telephone.
Yeah, we're going to get back to some real truth here, how to stay healthy and be healthy. We're in the middle of this big psychological war driven by fear more than anything, which is longtime listeners know. Fear, spelled F-E, which stands for iron. Fear drives that sympathetic dominance that causes you to constrict your flexor muscles and increase your heart rate and increase your breathing rate and dilate your pupils to get ready to fight or flight. But what it also does is kick magnesium out of your cell and attract iron into your cell. And if you're a body that has been starved of copper, which you are, if you've lived in America and eaten any amount of standard American food, you'll be starved of copper. Then you're a setup. You're a petri dish for COVID and every other germ, and you're a setup for every quote-unquote bad gene to turn on to create Alzheimer's and heart disease and Parkinson's and cancer and everything else. So we're going to get back. We're going to fight against the fear and the propaganda and the misinformation with bringing more truth. I want to invite people, if you want to keep up with the latest COVID. We've been talking COVID a lot lately. I'm trying to get a little further from it and back to a deeper truth on how to be well. But I know we're in the middle of this psychological warfare. You need some facts and information, and you need the other side of the story. So hopefully the listeners of this show aren't consuming too much corporate media. But on Telegram, I put stuff every day. So just follow Veritas Medical on Telegram. If you've been there, you'll see that there were 10,000 doctors and scientists that recently signed, and it's growing every day, but recently signed the Rome Declaration, which is a declaration accusing COVID policymakers of crimes against humanity. You did also see that we posted an article about a province in India, Uttar Pradesh province, has 230 million people in this province. Only 5% are vaccinated, and they just declared to be COVID-19 free with only 5% vaccinated. And they attribute this to the home kits they've been dispersing, which consist of ivermectin and some vitamins. Also, another article we recently put up there talks about the COVID-19 gene therapy injection and the cancer connection. That's an interview with Ryan Cole, doctor out of Idaho. He's a pathologist, seen a big uptick in cancer, a correlation with the injection. Also, multiple experts testifying to the FDA about the COVID-19 gene therapy shots causing more death than they're preventing. That's including Steve Kirsch, which I hope to have on next week. Steve Kirsch has a $1 million prize for anybody. I'm sure tech could use $1 million. Any public health official, any university academic person, or I think anyone in general. Morley, if you need $1 million, just debate Steve Kirsch and show him where he's wrong on his estimation of 200,000 people have died from the injection. That's according to Steve Kirsch, MIT grad, and his team of 20 statisticians. I could go on and on and on. Just follow us on Telegram if you want more of that type of stuff. Okay, to true health. Remember, you were designed to be well. We just need to steward this physical body. All these cells that are amazingly designed, they need real food, clean water, mineralized and structured preferably. They need you to move a little bit every hour, especially outside, and get some sunlight. More importantly, be at peace, not in fight or flight mode. Where your diet is deficient, supplement with key minerals like magnesium and copper, key vitamins like retinol, which is vitamin A from an animal source like cod liver oil, vitamin C, whole food though, not ascorbic acid. So there's these key basic things to do. Because remember, back when our ancestors had access to real food that was nutrient dense, remember, food has been depleted of vitamins and minerals since modern farming came in about 100 years ago. We've had a 20 to 80% drop in vitamin and mineral content of our food. But back when our ancestors had access to real food, they were healthy. The first reported case of cancer in the medical literature was about 300 years ago. It was scrotal tumors in chimney sweeps who were being exposed to all kinds of toxic chemicals in their occupation. Also, nasal tumors were reported in snuff users. Prior to that, there was no reported cancer in the medical literature. Of course, now it's one out of two people will have cancer in a lifetime. First heart attack reported in the American medical literature was in 1912 when there was one. Infant mortality used to be 50%. You had a 50-50 chance of making it to your fifth birthday in the late 1800s, turn of the century into the 1900s. This reduced by 99% prior to vaccines coming out because of the cleaning up of the external terrain in the big cities, New York, Manchester, Boston, London, all the big cities that were cesspools. They were mud-packed, manure-packed, mosquito-infested, dirty swamps, basically, with very little nutrition, little sunlight because of the smog. There wasn't good access to clean running water and sewage and all that stuff. Once they cleaned all that terrain up, external terrain, the infant mortality dropped. Weston A. Price found this also throughout his travels around the globe, 14 different people groups over 20 years. He found no cancer, no heart disease, and no germs killing people in the people that ate an ancestral diet and lived like their ancestors used to live. But when you brought in processed flour and processed sugar, he noted an increased death rate of with tuberculosis, malignancies, hypertension, osteoarthritis, heart disease. I've got five books in front of me here, modern books, that talk about the internal terrain being dirty. We've talked about these before. Dr. Tom Cowan, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, his whole book is all about the mitochondria and the energy production thereof, and the lack thereof causing heart attacks, not cholesterol. Another book, The Alzheimer's Antidote, it's all about the mitochondria. Fix the mitochondria and you'll decrease your risk of having Alzheimer's. Cancer is a metabolic disease. That's Thomas Seyfried. He's all about the metabolism, the mitochondria. Steward the mitochondria and you won't have cancer. There's a book called Mitochondria and the Future of Medicine. We've talked before about how to end the autism epidemic. That's J.B. Hanley's book. All these books are about the same thing, the mitochondria. What's the mitochondria do? It makes energy and it clears exhaust. When you don't do that efficiently, you will have a dirty internal terrain. Just like the external terrain was dirty in the late 1800s, and there's a 50% mortality rate because of it, because of germs, a petri dish that grew in that external terrain mismanagement environment. But now we've got an internal terrain that's deranged. And when you have an internal terrain that's deranged, and namely it's coming from your mitochondria, blowing out black smoke, all this free radical oxidative stress, and the inability to metabolize oxygen, meaning utilize the oxygen you're breathing in, get it down to your cell, and get it into energy production through the mitochondria. When you cannot do that, when your carburetor is gunked up, you will have a dirty internal terrain. And this dirty internal terrain is what leads to cancer and heart disease, the top two killers, leads to Alzheimer's and diabetes and obesity and everything else. And all those patients who have those diseases are the same ones that are susceptible to succumbing to COVID-19. So it's all the same thing. It's a misstewarded terrain, internal terrain, namely the mitochondria. So we can focus on trying to kill germs and treat symptoms, all these chronic disease symptomatic treatments with pharmaceuticals, they don't work. You know, I mean, we die younger than any other country, and we're the sickest of all the countries. We have the most sickest kids, sickest adults. I mean, treating symptoms with pharmaceuticals doesn't work. It's exactly what we're doing with these gene therapy injections. They're not designed to prevent you from getting COVID or transmitting COVID. Just think about that for a minute. If these injections do not prevent you from getting COVID or transmitting COVID, then why in the world would any mandate even make any logical sense? Whether you're pro or anti anything, just think about that. You can't protect your neighbor. That's what the studies showed. That's what Moderna and Pfizer told us from day one. This is not going to prevent you from getting COVID or transmitting it. So think about that for just one second. If it's not going to stop that, then you can't protect your neighbor. You can't protect anyone at the grocery store or on the airplane or anywhere else they want to mandate this thing. It's impossible. All it's been shown to do is maybe reduce your symptoms and risk of ICU admission. Well, guess what? At what cost? That's what Steve Kirsch will tell you next week. At the cost of 20 deaths from other causes for every one death you might prevent ICU admission you might prevent. And don't forget, there's early outpatient treatment. So let's say the injections even prevent ICU admission and death, if the data says that. Was there anything else it does? Yeah, early outpatient treatment does. So which one's safer and which one does it better? We'll talk about that next week. I don't want to go off on that tangent right now. Because even better than that is don't need early outpatient treatment. Don't need any pharmaceutical to treat a symptom. And the best thing of all, don't need the U.S. healthcare system, which is failing, by the way, if you haven't noticed. And the best way to not need the healthcare system and not need a doctor, which is our goal at Veritas Medical, to teach you how to be healthy, is to do what Morley Robbins is about to talk about doing, and a book that he's bringing forth that I encourage everybody to get that will teach you how to steward your health, steward your internal terrain, steward your mitochondria, and decrease your odds of ICU admission, hospital admission, or even the need of a doctor, because you'll be healthy. Morley Robbins, thank you for coming back on the show. It's been a while.
Dr. Ben, it has been a while. It's great to hear your voice and great to be here. Thank you very much. And thanks for letting folks know about the pre-Pulitzer book that's available, or will be available next week. And very excited about that. We'll talk about some of the issues that are touched on in that book, but we've got lots to cover in our time together, and I'm looking forward to our dialogue.
Well, me too, and I appreciate you taking the time to come back with us, but just so we don't forget at the end, can you tell us where people can get that book and the name of the book and those kind of details before we get going with what we need to talk about?
Yes. The title of the book is Cure Your Fatigue. And in the same way that you were putting a hyphen between F-E and A-R, I put brackets around C-U so people can see the symbol for copper, because that is the cure. I'm waiting momentarily from the publisher. She's going to contact me literally today to give me the link to Amazon. So as soon as I've got that, I will let you know, and you can put it in the show notes for people to begin to access that. Look forward to opening up the airways for a little bit more truth about what's really going on in our bodies.
Yeah, and we need that truth. And Morley, I want to just start with a comment. I've been telling people, because everybody's taking zinc, you know, prophylactically even. So my answer to them has been, don't do that. High-dose prophylactic zinc every single day is going to disrupt your copper absorption and metabolism. Copper's the backbone of the immune system. Most of us are already copper deficient. If you want to use zinc with a zinc ionophore, that would be quercetin or hydroxychloroquine. These are molecules that will open the zinc channels. Yeah, zinc can get in there and disrupt an enzyme that prevents viral replication. I'm not opposed to that for a day or two or three if you're actually sick, but not daily, every single day, high dose especially. So before we jump in with, I know you've got a lot to say, can you just make a comment? Would you concur with that on the zinc, daily zinc usage that I think all of America seems to be on right now?
Oh, I absolutely concur. I think we've got to back it up a step, though. The thing is, our understanding of nutrition and medicine is not unlike a four-year-old waiting for Christmas morning. And the four-year-old doesn't really know about the Bible and doesn't really know about the importance of Jesus Christ and the importance of light overcoming darkness that really that whole period of the calendar symbolizes. So a four-year-old doesn't know that. And tragically, people don't realize what was behind the COVID cocktail. And the COVID cocktail is a combination of not just zinc, but vitamin D and ascorbic acid. And what's missing in people's awareness is that that's a perfect way to destroy the bioavailability of copper. And what's very exciting is you're talking about those five books that you have in front of you, all talking about metabolism and the mitochondria. But I really wonder how many passages in those books talk about copper, the bioavailability of copper, the copper enzymes that run the mitochondria, the fact that there's 50,000 atoms of copper in the center of the mitochondria, that all complexes of the mitochondria are copper-dependent. I don't think Tom Cowan or Thomas Siegfried or the other authors that you mentioned, I don't think they talk about that. And so I think the piece of the puzzle that is so glaringly missing in our awareness about how to stay healthy is how important copper is to our metabolism, but also to our immune system. And it's vitally important. And what is it that makes copper bioavailable? It's retinol. Animal-based vitamin A is the best source of loading up the copper. It's a critical source of energy to load up the copper into the enzymes. Not a lot of people talk about that. And so the allopathic and alternative health industries are all built around a complete misunderstanding about the role that copper plays to keep us in balance, keep us healthy, and keep us fighting the pathogens. And to your point about zinc stopping the replication, again, that's all enemy-focused. Well, let's do what we can to kill the enemy, stop them from replicating. When, in fact, what's the most important thing we can do? Create energy. Pathogens cannot exist in a high-energy environment. And that's the side that a lot of practitioners don't seem to understand, because they've been trained and focused so deeply on the pathogen side, and they're not thinking about the production of ATP side.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the real gap is in healing.
Yeah. And that's where we want to zero in, because that's going to cover so many bases. That's going to decrease your risk of all the chronic diseases, which is a true epidemic in our society, and the susceptibility to these germs. Now, I do want to mention, our viewership has gone way, or listenership has gone way, way up through COVID, including a lot of practitioners, conventional-minded practitioners. So I want to encourage those folks out there listening, go back on the archive page on veritasmedical.com under resources. You can click on the radio show link and go to all the Morley interviews. We have those designated out separately. And go back and listen to get some background, because you may be a little shocked if you hear us say, don't take vitamin C and D. And we're talking about synthetic forms of these because of the unintended consequence. And we're not going to get into arguments on today's show on D and all the all the different things. Well, there's a decreased ICU admissions with D. We've talked about that in previous shows. I think it's more of the temporary rescue effect of like a steroid. But there's unintended consequences. Let's not wait till we have to rescue somebody and give them IV ascorbic acid, high dose vitamin D, etc., to try to decrease their chances. That's late in the game. Let's go upstream and try to prevent even needing to do rescue therapy. All right, Morley, let's dive in. You've been...
So, yeah, I've been very patient. I've been holding my breath. I've turned blue, Ben. Folks who've been listening to me over the years know how fascinated I am by the master antioxidant protein, ceruloplasmin. Again, most people have never heard of it. Most practitioners have never heard of it, or maybe they had that one lecture where they talked about Wilson's disease. Oh yeah, ceruloplasmin. Okay, I'll pass the test because I remember that, not knowing what its properties are. But it's named ceruloplasmin because it emits a blue light. It has, which is very significant, as we're going to find out. So here we have this blue protein. And I've been fascinated by it for a number of years. And then as I've been working with the research, I've discovered that, you know, the center of the mitochondria, as I mentioned, has what's called a matrix. It's called the mitochondrial matrix. Well, Paul Kubine at Auburn University was able to study a yeast mitochondria, which is the model for human mitochondria. That's an important fact. And what he discovered is that yeast mitochondria, each mitochondria has 50,000 atoms of copper at the center. And what's the color of that matrix? It's blue. Okay. So it's like a little pool of blue inside the mitochondria. Then we find out that there's a very important part of our neuroanatomy called the locus ceruleus, and that's Latin for blue spot. And suddenly we find another area of the body that's very dependent on copper, and the locus coeruleus is located at the top of the brainstem, just before you get into the limbic region of the brain. Very important center of a nervous system, and it's about the size of your thumbnail. That's 50,000 neurons, which is a big deal, and it has 10 times more copper than any other brain center in our brain. That's another big deal. And so why is the locus coeruleus so important? Because it's where noradrenaline gets produced to bathe the brain tissue in response to inflammation. Well, why would there be inflammation? Because there's not enough bioavailable copper to make energy. There's not enough bioavailable copper to clear the exhaust. And so the noradrenaline is used to bathe the brain tissue. And what they're discovering now, this is a part of the brain that was first discovered in 1808, but they didn't start studying it clinically until about 2017, go figure. So about 200 years, it's been lying dormant. But what they've discovered now is that locus coeruleus is what blows out 20 years before you get any kind of neurodegenerative disease or any kind of behavioral health issues like depression or anxiety, schizophrenia. So it's a major piece of the puzzle. And so locus coeruleus and ceruloplasmin are based on the same Latin word, sky blue. So again, we're back to this blue, this very, very special blue color. Well, what I discovered yesterday, which came as a bit of a surprise, I'm a bit of a student of the mitochondria and the what's called the electron transport chain, and there's five stops on that electron transport chain, and stop number four, called complex four, it's also called cytochrome C oxidase. And it's, I think, in my humble opinion, it's the most important enzyme on planet Earth. There's three copper atoms that run it. And that's where oxygen that we breathe gets turned into water so that we can release energy molecules to run our cells. It's a very, very significant part of our physiology is turning oxygen into water. And so basically what the mitochondria are water wheels. It's very, very important to understand that. That's when people are dehydrated, it's not that they have a lack of water in their intake, it's they have a lack of energy in their mitochondria. Ding, ding, ding. And the last thing that people should be doing is drinking their half of their body weight in milliliter water. It's one of the biggest scams on the planet. So, and again, most people do that, and they don't have any minerals in their water to boot. So the thing is, this complex, it's very, very important, and what I did not know was who the first person was who discovered it. Well, his name was Paul Ehrlich. Paul Ehrlich was a major medical deity in Germany back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. But when he was a medical resident, I want you to picture, Dr. Ben, you being at UT and in your residency, you discovered complex four. I mean, is that a mind-blowing thought that you discovered the very enzyme that turns oxygen into water?
Believe me, Morley. That would not happen. That would not happen in today's age. And I can say this with all honesty, protocol doctors are what medical school is spitting out, including me. I mean, that's what they taught me. I learned how to follow protocols. There would not have been the deep thinking to discover a complex four, but I digress. Let's go on.
That's okay. I still think you're a curious George. And again, we spell curious differently. We put C-U hyphen. R-I-O-U-S. So we see that copper is still a part of that investigative curiosity. So Paul Ehrlich discovers this complex in 1885, and he calls it endophenyl oxidase. Endophenyl. oh, well, that means blue. He knew that it was a blue protein back in 1885. A number of years later, 40 years later, a very significant figure in biochemistry was a guy named David Kylan. He was at Cambridge University. He was fascinated with energy production, fascinated with the mitochondria, fascinated with how electrons move down this electron transport chain, and he's the guy that discovered that cytochromes, cyto, cell, chrome, color, oh, these are little agents inside the cell that are color, and guess what color cytochrome C is? It's blue, ding, ding, ding. And so he made many references to the fact that indolphino oxidase was blue until a guy named Otto Warburg came along. In the same year that David Kylan discovered cytochrome C, Otto Warburg, which was the guy that got the credit for discovering complex 4, he called it the Atmund's ferment, the respiratory ferment, and he gets the Nobel Prize for it. Why? Because he changed the color of it. He called it iron oxidase to throw off 90 years of scientists and clinicians and keep everybody wondering, how does the mitochondria really make energy? It makes it off of copper, but he got physicians and clinicians to think it was an iron-based mechanism. Mm. And then in the 1970s, the enzyme commission that classifies all enzymes decided to change the nomenclature and call it cytochrome C oxidase. And what was lost, though, is that blue color. And what's really important, people must think, is Marley losing it? I mean, he's going back to kindergarten colors. Well, no, this is really important, because this complex 4 absorbs red light, but it emits blue light. That's why it's blue. It's because it's reflecting back blue light. And what is so special about red? That's the color of copper. And so if the mitochondria don't have copper, they can't turn oxygen into water, and that's the very mechanism of disease. So the work of Douglas Wallace at Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania, 2005, energy deficiency is the origin of all chronic disease. The work of Brian Glancy at NIH, 2015, 2017, 2019, knowing how important mitochondrial production of ATP is in the prevention of chronic disease. And Brian Glancy has a very special position at NIH. And so what the world is waking up to is the importance of the mitochondria. I credit to that. What is still in the dark ages is understanding the actual mineral mechanism that enables it to happen. And I think it's important for people to realize that copper does have this special property of absorbing red light but emitting blue light, which makes it mind-blowingly important. And what I've also learned recently, which will bring us back to a familiar haunt, Dr. Ben, is you know that we've talked about a gas called nitric oxide on several occasions, mm-hmm. not the least of which is because you happen to be at the university where one of the Nobel recipients got the award. But what I hadn't really captured was oxygen, the oxygen molecule. It's two atoms of oxygen that are bonded together, and they are red. And what is nitric oxide? It's a nitrogen and oxygen. Nitrogen is blue, oxygen is red. We're back to red and blue. And what's very important for people to understand is as soon as the mitochondria start to wobble in their ATP production, the mitochondria starts to produce more nitric oxide inside the mitochondria. It's called inducible nitric oxide, which is very different than endothelial or neuronal. And the inducible produces massive amounts of nitric oxide. Why should we be worried about nitric oxide inside the mitochondria, because nitric oxide, based on research from the 60s and 70s and 80s, very clearly shut down copper enzymes all over the body. And apparently they looked the other way when they gave the Nobel in 1998 because of the impact of nitric oxide on our physiology. And so I think there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, but what people need to, the bottom line that I know people are waiting for is, please get more bioavailable copper in your diet. Please follow the core four that Dr. Ben talks about. Please start using the paleo copper and the vegan copper that Dr. Ben and I have developed to enhance the availability of copper. And please, on bended knee, please stop going to the internet for answers to your metabolic problems, because you're not going to find them there, unfortunately. The vast majority of information on the internet is garbage, controlled by the people who delight in your dysfunction and profit from your disease. So I think it's just time for people to really continue this process of waking up and understand that at the base of all of their dis-ease and dysfunction and dysregulation is a lack of bioavailable copper, and I'll leave it at that.
Amen. Well, I want to we got to go to break real quick. I just want to remember something. One of my wife's cousins used to work on a big old ranch out in New Mexico. I think it's the biggest ranch in the 48 states, or second biggest maybe. Anyways, he told me about their cows and biopsying the livers of those cows to assess their mineral content. And what he noted was copper was always excessively low. And when they started supplementing copper in the mineral blocks to the cattle, they saw a tremendous uptick in health. Everything from weight gain to fertility rates to less pink eye, you name it. Copper was the number one most efficient mineral in the liver of those cows. So we tell people to eat their organ meats, like beef liver. Eat their whole food vitamin C that has copper in the center of it. They try to consume it in the diet. Unfortunately, just like those cows out in New Mexico, if the cows are on land and eating grass that's deficient in these minerals, which probably will be if the land's not been stewarded properly through regenerative ag techniques, then you can just be deficient or supplement. I tell people we don't sell supplements to make money. We sell supplements to supplement your health so you stay out of our office to save you money, to stay healthy.
That's right.
So you can't supplement your way to health. You got to eat your way to health and exercise and get sunlight and be at peace and all the four pillars. But where the food's deficient, then you're down to two choices, be deficient or supplement. So that's why I supplement every day. And we used to, and I still do, I try to eat my liver, and when I'm missing it, I'll supplement with desiccated beef liver pills from Perfect Beef Liver Supplement Company, because they're high quality. But once, you know, I started learning that this copper is so important, and that beef liver in a pill may be deficient in copper because that cow's deficient. So that's why we developed Morley, leading the charge on that, developed the paleo copper, which is desiccated beef liver infused with some extra copper. And then the vegan version of that is spirulina infused with extra copper. So that's what that was about. And that's on VeritasMarket.com. We'll talk about that more in the future. We got to take a break. And we're going to talk about methylene blue. This is a therapeutic you can use to treat COVID, actually. It inactivated COVID-19 in 2 minutes. We'll talk about that research paper when we get back. Morley, what's the best way for people to find you and follow you? Is it still rcp123.org or where else?
Yes, that's it. That's the best site. And then if they want to reach out, it's my email, morleyrobbins@gmail.com.
All right, guys, that's Morley Robbins, rcp123.org. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information that you can help regain your health. We did have a text here, Dr. Edwards. It was about Sally Fallon Morrell. Said there isn't a COVID virus. I've heard others say this too. I was diagnosed with COVID and was really sick. Thankful I was able to take ivermectin. What did I, along with thousands of others, have if there's no virus?
Very good question. The whole even nature of viruses, this was an NIH lecture I listened to a couple years ago. Exosomes versus viruses, what's the difference? Turns out there's these little packages of genetic material that the body releases. We call them exosomes, and they're communicating molecules, these packages of genetic material, and they look just like a virus. Because remember, what a virus is not a living organism that can live outside the body on its own and replicate and all that kind of stuff, like a bacteria or a parasite or fungus. It's just a little strip of genetic material encapsulated in basically like a cell membrane that's your own cell membrane material when you extrude it from the cell. So to really get into this whole debate, you got to read Contagion Myth. That's Tom Cowan and Sally's book. And basically, it's kind of what we're talking about today with Morley. It's the terrain versus the germ. When you are inundated with toxicity, and what Morel is going to talk about in the book is more EMF toxicity, that's a stressor on the body. And these guys in this camp, from what I can understand, are more focused on these stressors in the body, these terrain disruptors, triggering the body to release basically exosomes. You know, trees even do this. When a tree's under a stress, it releases an exosome, and it communicates with the trees next to it. It's crazy. So this is a whole different conversation we won't go into. What I think, and I think is clear, and we'll play in a interview next week or maybe the following week with David Martin, who talks about all the patents on COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2 patentable things going back to the late 90s. So really, I think this is getting into more bioweapons and with synthetic mRNA enhanced into a natural virus, or were multiple pieces of RNA, including HIV, put together. So what I'm saying is, are we just dealing with this little piece of mRNA that got synthetically spliced together in a lab and then released, and now it's going all around the world and getting into us and causing this inflammatory process and a lot of blood clots? So whether we call it a virus, or it's a bioweapon, or it's an exosome, or it's a piece of genetic material, I think clearly now not naturally occurring. And that's where we can get into some of these therapeutics, like methylene blue that we mentioned before the top of the before the break.
And real quick before we go, Lee, you think also these variants are because directly related to the fact that everybody's taken the jab. Everybody's immune system's different and is basically causing the genetic structure of that virus to mutate. Is that true?
Correct. Vaccines are not therapies. Therapies are ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and et cetera, methylene blue, these other things. So a vaccine is for prevention. If you try to use a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic as a therapy agent, you're going to cause pressure on that virus, just like with antibiotics. You mass inoculate chickens in a chicken farm with a bunch of antibiotics, you're going to cause the bacteria that's resistant to that to thrive. Or you'll put pressure on a virus to mutate. I mean, viruses mutate all the time. This genetic material gets added to and chopped off, and it changes constantly. 1 to 2% change almost every time it's introduced into a body and spit back out. There's a tiny little change in the copies. And so the copies that change the spike protein start to thrive in an environment where you pressure it with this quote-unquote vaccine that's for the Wuhan spike protein, the original spike protein. Now we're not dealing with that protein anymore because of this variant. So what Dr. Gert van den Bosch, who was formerly of the Bill and Melinda Gates vaccine program, and what Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA technology, what all these experts are saying is, and they say this is a pretty simple concept, all virologists know, if you pressure a virus in the middle of a pandemic with a non-neutralizing vaccine or a non-lethal vaccine, you're going to force the variants. So, yeah, that's clear. I think anyone who's looking at this with an unbiased mind. Morley, any comments on Sally Fallon, Morel, on the question about what Sally said about there's not a virus, it's more of these other factors versus exosome versus bioweapon, and then we'll get into methylene blue.
Yeah, I think my world changed earlier this year when I was reading a patent application for a drug for multiple sclerosis. And for folks that don't know, that's a neurodegenerative condition that has massive effect on our physiology and muscular control and things like that. and they were using a combination of T4, synthetic T4, and another drug. And what they were explaining in this application, in a patent application, it's not unlike a deposition. You've got to tell the truth. And at a critical point in the application, they said it would be good for the reader to understand that the origin of all autoimmune conditions, of which multiple sclerosis is one of the 100 or more autoimmune conditions, the origin of the autoimmune condition is a parasite that attacks the tissue and gives off viral excrement. And so I think we're getting into nomenclature wars. Basically, there, whether we call it a virus or an exosome, what created it? It's a parasite that created it. Why is quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin stopping it? Because they are known anti-parasitic interventions. And so let's call it spade a spade. The real issue is the whole COVID is not a virus, it's a parasite. And that's why these medical interventions have been suppressed, because they don't want us to know that there's actually a way to cure this thing. So I think it gets more complicated. And then the reason why this is significant is
Morley, before you go there, let me just interject.
Yeah.
I'll go even deeper, say COVID-19 is not a virus, not a parasite. It's a terrain issue. I mean, if you take this thing deep enough, because the question is, why are people sick? Is it because this piece of mRNA came into them? Is it because a parasite was... Well, why would it even be able to manifest and replicate, and why would a parasite be able to grow in? All these different germs and bugs, why are they allowed to grow and replicate and manifest to a point of causing all this inflammation and blood clotting? Because your terrain is off. So really, it's a terrain issue at the very deepest part. But anyways, sorry, I know you'd agree with that. But
I want to take it deeper.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's notable, and we'll get into the methylene blue, is that, again, Paul Ehrlich, he's like the Michael Jordan of medicine back in the 1900s. You can't even fathom how important this guy was. And his claim to fame was studying what are called macrophages. And macrophages are the Pac-Men that clean up the bad guys in our body, in our tissue, and in our blood. They're very important components of our immune system. And to study them, he had to use an analytical agent, and the one that was preferred at that time was called methylene blue. But, okay, fascinating. It was originally developed in 1876 in the textile industry, because it was a very vibrant blue, but it had these special qualities in analytical chemistry and analytical biology of being able to stain the inside of cells so you could actually discern the different parts of the cell. And so Paul Ehrlich was studying this, studying macrophages, and along the way he noticed that these macrophages are designed to kill the pathogen. There are very important mechanisms in our body that are naturally designed to kill pathogens, the bacteria, the fungus, the parasites, what have you. It's very important that people know that. But they need to be energized. They've got to be able to work. They've got to go from basically a V2 engine to a V8 engine. And the V8 engine is being able to burn fat. And when a macrophage can burn fat, it can kill parasites. And what Paul discovered was that by putting methylene blue into this macrophage, it was able to kill pathogens, especially parasites. And in 1891, he decided to use methylene blue to see if it will kill the malaria parasite. And lo and behold, it worked twice. Clinically shattering development. And the big pharma agent at that time was BASF. And when they discovered that he was curing people of malaria with methylene blue, they said, well, we're going to make it better. And so they took methylene blue and they turned it into hydroxychloroquine. And now when people get malaria, they're not treated with methylene blue, they're treated with hydroxychloroquine. Why? Because methylene blue cures the condition, hydroxychloroquine treats the condition, and it's all about cash flow. The whole system is about cash flow. And what has been quietly working wonders in laboratories and in hospital wards and in doctors' offices and in homes for centuries is methylene blue that has the ability, it's a electron cycler. Think of it as being able to put electrons on and take electrons off at that complex pore that is so important about turning oxygen into water. And it is fascinating that it, when it donates its electrons to that complex, it goes from being blue to white, and then it can turn black into blue again, so that it can do it again, do it again, do it again. And in fact, some scientists in the Scandinavian countries have developed a methylene blue battery that is perfectly efficient and does not lose its charge. And so the way I've come to understand this methylene blue, because I'm sure people are now going to run out and try to find all the methylene blue just like they did, they went to the feed and seed stores to try to get horse paste. But the thing is, I think what methylene blue really is many of us have used silverware. And we know that silverware can get tarnished. And from time to time, we have to buff up our silverware so it's nice and shiny. And what's the benefit of shiny silverware? Well, then it can give off the electrons to kill the pathogens in our mouth when we're eating food. That's why royalty used silverware, because it was an antiseptic. So I think what methylene blue is doing inside of our cells and inside of our mitochondria is I think it's copper polish. I think what's happened to a lot of the copper enzymes in our bodies over the last century, over the course of our lifetime, is the copper has become oxidized, become rusty, it's not working right, and instead of being in a form of plus one, it's in a plus two. And when it's plus two, it's not as happy, it's not as functional. And I think what the methylene blue is doing is bringing the luster, bringing the functionality back to the copper enzymes. I've not found any scientific articles that have said that. I've got a number of articles that I'm going to be reading over the next couple of weeks that I hope are going to begin to allude to that. But the important thing is methylene blue is an intervention that seems to have almost magical properties. And as you noted, it's not only does it cure TB and malaria, two known parasitic conditions, but it's also treating COVID. And that you made reference to the specific article, I think it would be good for you to share with people that study where they were clearing it in 2 minutes. Because I think it's utterly paradigm-busting for people to realize that there are, this is a synthetic intervention, but it's supporting the natural physiology of our mitochondria and the immunometabolism system that we rely on to stay healthy.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple studies here. The first one, methylene blue photochemical treatment as a reliable SARS-CoV-2 plasma virus inactivation method for blood safety and convalescent plasma therapy for the COVID-19 outbreak. That was March of 2020. It looks to be out of China, Zhejiang University. But y'all can just look that up, March 2020, ResearchGate, methylene blue photochemical treatment as a reliable SARS-CoV-2 plasma virus inactivation method. Basically, they were inactivating SARS-CoV in blood and in plasma, and it did it in 2 minutes. There's another article for you geeks out there who want to geek out on stuff, PubMed. The journal name is Medical Hypotheses, January 2021. Methylene blue in COVID-19 is the name of the article. Just quoting from the abstract here, the only drug known to inhibit the excessive production of reactive oxygen species and cytokines is methylene blue, a low-cost dye with antiseptic properties used effectively to treat malaria, urinary tract infection, septic shock, and hemoglobinemia. So y'all check that out if you want to take a deeper dive into methylene blue.
And what's particularly important, Dr. Ben, is that methylene blue's unique property is that it stops nitric oxide in its tracks. And what's being produced in the SARS-CoV-2 is this explosion of nitric oxide. Why? Because the cells cannot make energy, and as soon as they can't make energy, they start to give off exhaust. And one of the exhaust forms that's given off is nitric oxide. That's the body's backup mechanism. And so suddenly, the nitric oxide starts to shut down copper enzymes. And what methylene blue has a unique property for doing is stopping the negative physiological impact that nitric oxide has, particularly in an acute respiratory situation like SARS-CoV-2.
Yep. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up here. We want to strike a balance between, you know, I'm all about the terrain, steward the mitochondria. You should be able to walk into a room full of TB or any other germ and be just fine. God designed your body that way. You can handle these pathogens if you have stewarded your health. That's what Weston A. Price found 100 years ago. There would be villages that were what he called TB resistant. Nobody got TB. Nobody died from TB because they stewarded their health. So it's all about the terrain. Eat real food. Move around a little bit every hour. Get outside. Get some sunshine. Drink clean water. Most importantly, be at peace. Don't let all the disinformation, misinformation, fear, propaganda drive you into a state of mental incapacitation. I think that's where everybody's getting. We're
right.
Getting mad. We're getting depressed. We're getting divided. All this stuff. Just realize where it's coming from. The father of all lies, the root of all evil, the love of money. It's all so clear. So be encouraged, folks. God designed your body beautifully. Steward it right. When we need to do therapeutics, we can. If you haven't stewarded your health for 50 years, there's no time like today to start. Start with a fast. Don't eat for 18 hours. You'll drop your blood sugar and your CRP, your inflammatory markers, your insulin, and that all by itself will decrease your risk of COVID-19. That simple. And then start eating real food. Cut the processed grain, cut the processed sugar, and cut the vegetable oils. Eat real food. Eat some bacon. If you need a therapeutic, there are multiple therapeutics out there. Go to C19treatmentsithink.com. 24 different treatments that have shown efficacy, and I don't believe methylene blue is one of those. We'll have to send that to them. Make it 25 now. Morley, thank you. Appreciate your input today. The book, once again, Cure Your Fatigue. Is that right?
That's correct. That's it.
Coming out soon in a week or two, hopefully. So y'all stay tuned. We'll post that in the show notes, and we'll put it on the social media, and we'll have you back. Morley, thank you for all your time, your research, and your efforts to bring the truth on how to keep us healthy now the hospital, now the ICU. Morley Robbins, rcp123.org. Check out the website. Follow him on social media and get the book. Morley, we'll have to have you back. Thank you again for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks again for the opportunity. Look forward to our continued dialogue.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody. VeritasMedical.com is where we archive these. Also on iTunes. It'll be up later in the week, hopefully. Wade, thank you for being a place and a platform we can speak the truth and not have to worry about pharmaceutical-driven advertisements silencing or censoring our voices.
We want to keep it that way, Dr. Edwards. So
if you start to take pharma money, I'm out.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, just saying.
All right, good.
Hey, you've been listening to Ear the Cure, Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. We'll be right back with more. Stick around right here on AM 580, 95.9 FM.